Anyway, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity you give us just to thank you and to know where we're going and to know of your power within us, working through us to save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. The title is called Responsibility, Resist, and Retake. Responsibility, resist, and retake. We'll see that theme throughout these 10 or so verses that we speak of. So in verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes or strategies of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You got to know your enemy. If you're going to fight in a war, you got to know what your enemy has as weapons. For instance, if there's a biological war, you don't fight that with bullets. It's not going to work, no matter how sincere you are. This is a spiritual war. And to know that you don't fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against spiritual powers with spiritual weapons. The top medical researchers have found that misdiagnoses has caused the death of 371,000 people and permanently disabled 424,000 just from a misdiagnosis, the wrong antidote for the sickness, working on a symptom that they thought this particular antidote would work. Maybe they got an allergic reaction. Maybe that wasn't the sickness, but it looked like it. And for us, too, if we misdiagnose what's going on in the world and in your life, you're going to suffer for it. You might have good intentions about it, but to misdiagnose what's going on in this world, to think that everything is natural and naturally happening, you're going to get hurt. So we need to understand that there's a spiritual warfare going on against your soul and against the souls of people. There was a story I once heard about the group of men who were praying. And every week when they would get together to pray, this one person would say, oh, Lord, please, this web that has gotten me or has gotten my family, please remove this web. And you've heard the story of that, oh, what a web we weave when we first learn to deceive. So he prayed this every week, Lord, please remove the web. And finally, one guy got tired of it. He said, man, kill the spider. And that's what it comes down to. It's the root that you got to go after, not the symptoms. And many times we work on the symptoms and think, well, if I do this, if I have that, and all, so forth and so on, it's going to be okay. But it's not. It's actually the root that you got to go for. And spiritually speaking, it's the enemy trying to get at your soul or your flesh, trying to take you down, or the world. So in this chapter, we see the imagery that Paul is giving us here of a soldier. Remember, he's in prison in Rome, shackled to a Roman soldier, to say the least. And so by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he sees all the armor that a Roman soldier has on, and he uses that as an illustration for our spiritual armor. He talks about the helmet, the breastplate, the shod of your feet, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and so forth. And so he uses that to understand this is your spiritual weapon. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier, a soldier of Christ. And no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, God enlisted you and me to be born at this time. It's not a coincidence. It wasn't the draw of luck. But God created you to be born who you are at this time as a soldier. We're all soldiers. Yeah, well, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the son of God. Yes, yes, yes. But you're also a soldier. And if you forget that you're in a warfare, you're going to get wounded or maybe even destroyed. That's just life. Sometimes it happens quickly. Most of the times it happens over a period of time. I've seen it time and time again. It may not bite you the first day, but within that year, you're going to see some pain in your life that you weren't counting on. And you might even forget the root cause of it because you've been trying to medicate all of that pain with different things, and you forget, well, what was it? Well, most of the time, you leave your first love. So we're soldiers. So he says in 6, chapter 6, verse 1, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So you remember the story of Joshua? He's going in to take the city of Jericho, which has walls that they say are so thick chariots could run across it. The house was even built on top of it from Rahab, was up there. And so as he was meditating on going in to take the city, he sees a man at a distance with his sword drawn. And this is what Joshua says to him. Are you for us or for our adversaries? And the reply was, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face up to the earth, and he bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? It was Jesus Christ, Christophany. Christ appeared to him and said, no, I'm not for you, I'm not against you, but I am the captain. I am the captain of the host of all of the angels. The Lord fights your battles. If the Lord isn't in it, so be strong in the strength of the Lord. If he's not in the battle of winning souls, if he's not involved in the battle of getting over your flesh, you're going to lose. We always have to keep in mind our identity of who we are in Christ, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Can I get an amen? He fell on his face and he worshiped him. You don't worship a man. It was God himself. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Verse 11, he says, now put on, and here's the responsibility. If you don't put it on, it's not on. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You have an option. We all do. I can believe that I'm in a warfare and the devil is after me. He's after you. He's after your family. He's after everyone in this world because he's the enemy of God, who is the captain. And he wants to take this world for himself. But it's impossible. God has already decreed that he's coming back to take control of this world and set up his kingdom. It's a done deal. But still, you and I are the soldiers of the Lord. And we must do battle in the name of the Lord. So we put on that armor every day. You put on that armor before you go out. You put on that armor. You meditate on, wow, Lord, your will be done today, not my will. Lord, what are you saying today? Am I to speak to someone? Or when the fire starts coming into your life, you start, Lord, you cause all things to work together for good to them that love you and called according to your purposes. So you have a backup. You know that it's not indiscriminately just coming upon you. But the fire comes to everybody as a Christian. And the real fire, the fire of hell, will come to those that don't believe in Christ. But that's not what we wish on anybody. We want to retake the souls that the devil has held captive. And that's our mission. But he says here, put it on and stand firm. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 23 about David's 30 mighty men. And there was one man by the name of Shema, the son of Agi, what a name, a Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils or beans. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he took his stand. And in the midst of the plot, he defended it and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. He held his ground. I think that's where we are challenged. When things start happening, you start seeing the Philistines, which is symbolic of the enemy, coming at you, because if you don't see it as an enemy trying to stop you, you're already lost. You're already, you're done. You're going to be held captive by him or whatever. Or you'll flee. You'll run. I don't like this. This is too challenging. Or, I can't, let me find another church. Let me find another wife. Let me find another husband. Let me do this. Let me do that. No. We're in this to the end. And God will work it out if we allow him to, and if we persevere, rather than just running when things are getting too hot in the kitchen. So this one man, Shema, by himself, everyone else left, God gave him the victory. He stood his ground. So I want to ask you, will you stand firm as a soldier of the Lord? Will you hold your ground? Now here it is, a plot of beads. It might be worthless. Hey, it's not worth fighting over this plot of, let the Philistines have it. What are they going to do with it? Well, they'll feed their troops. The enemy will keep growing. So you might say, well, what is my job? What do I do? It's tiny. It's insignificant. It's a field of beans. Who knows? Okay, well, if the enemy gets everyone to run, it's going to feed him more. It's going to make him stronger. But if you hold your ground, no matter what's coming at you, because you're with the Lord and the Lord is with you and the Lord will give you victory, that's where the test comes. And that's where perseverance comes in. And that's when you get mature. And that's when you sense the power of God. He also says, remember, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, verses 12 and 13. It's against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's a spiritual fight. It's not a physical. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist. That's the second point. Be responsible. Put on your armor. And now you must resist in that evil day, and having everything done, stand firm. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resisting, as Jesus said in the book of Hebrews, or as the Hebrew writer said, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Jesus shed blood both on the cross and as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says drops of blood came upon his face because he understood what was ahead of him. So much so, he said, Father, if it's your will, take this cross away from me if there's another way, but nevertheless, not my will. He resisted in taking the sins of the wrath of God upon himself. But you have not resisted to that point, neither have I. He said, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And sometimes that discipline is uncomfortable, and sometimes it's like the boot camp, if you see it in that light. It's not fun being in boot camp. You're being pushed, you're being pressured. Why? To make you a better soldier, to make you strong so that you could withstand the wiles of the enemy. But if you run away from boot camp and you go, oh, AWOL, you can't go into battle without being pruned, without being persevering, without being tested. So many times that what God is doing in your life is making you more strong, is making you more closer to him. So he says, don't fight that, but rather yield and say, Lord, your will be done. Give me grace. Let me see what you're doing in my life. But you must resist the devil and stay firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of sufferings are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist. So stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, all of the armor, the symbolism, is actually not separate from Jesus. Jesus is the armor. He's our helmet. He's our belt of truth. He's the sword. He's the word. He's our purpose of shining our feet with the good news. That's who he is, and that's what we follow. We follow his spirit. We understand his purpose on this earth. What was his purpose? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes would not perish but have everlasting life. His purpose was to save souls. Let's not lose focus of that. God has given you people to influence. It might be a seed of saying thank you and being kind, and it gets their attention. They say, well, why are you so kind? Well, you know, it's the Lord in me. I gave my heart to the Lord. But you have an influence with people, job, getting a cup of coffee. Wherever you may be, people are lost. And we need to see that vision and capture it. And he has created us for such a time as this. But you have to be a soldier. If you're just a walk in, walk out type of person, okay, I'm not going to judge you. God will judge you at the end, not me. But I could tell you this, there's not a better joy than to know that you're in the army of the Lord and you're doing his will and you're doing his work. And you're sensing his blessing, you're sensing his strength. You can't get that if you were the president of the United States with all the power of the world. When you sense the power of God in your life to affect people for eternity, that's why he died. So you gird your loins, and if you picture this, the loins was the belt, and it held up the breastplate. And on the loins you had your holster, if you will, the scabbard, which would be in your sword. And on the other side you would have a dagger. And in the very, very front of that belt, it'd be like a flap, a thick leather flap that would protect your privates and what have you. But that is the core. The core must be secure. And so he said, gird your loins with truth. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to do miracles and signs. And it says here, with all deception of wickedness, for those who perish because, listen to this, they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. They did not receive the love of the truth to be saved. Today, truth is trash. People don't want to tell the truth. They want to lie through their teeth. It's something, they want to lie about who they are. They want to lie about their bodies. They want to lie about what they're doing. Truth is no longer there. In the old days or in the old school, it was something that people followed. They took pride in their work. They took pride in speaking the truth. But today, nah. Get what you can while you can. If you have to lie, that's okay. It's acceptable. But because they love not the truth as to be saved, God will send on them a deluding influence so that they would be judged. So people are getting prepped already to believe in the Antichrist. For when this person comes, he's going to bring peace in Jerusalem. He's going to have miracles. He's going to do things. And because people are not following the Lord or accepting their responsibility of sinners to be forgiven, they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the man. Anyway, truth is so important. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. I am the truth. He also said to Martha, well, yeah, she said, I know he'll rise on the resurrection day. He said, hey, I'm the resurrection. It's not a day. I'm the man. I'm the person. I am life. I am truth. Follow me. He says to them in 17:17 of John, Father, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. What are you feeding your mind? Truth is the scriptures. If we fill our minds with the scriptures, you're going to speak without even trying to speak about God. It's going to come out like a fountain because you've already surrendered. You're already saying, this is truth. I want truth. Listen, we all come to the Lord messed up. Can I get an amen? We all come to the Lord with our minds in the gutter, our minds are in the world. But it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our minds with truth. And if the Bible is truth, then we must listen to it, follow it, and ask for God's grace. Otherwise, you mix it in with non-truths, and it's even worse. He is the truth. He tells us in John 8:31 that if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want to be free? Are you misdiagnosing why you are unhappy? Are you misdiagnosing why things are going wrong in your life? It's time to see what the Word of God says. If you yield to the Spirit of God and to what the Word of God tells you, you will be set free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and the truth will set you free. Now, we're all progressively growing. I understand that. But don't allow any areas of your life to be robbed from Satan. If he can keep you down and he can say, no, God ain't going to set you free. Nah, that ain't the answer for you. He's got you. You got to say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I'm a follower of Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I'm going forward with him. He's my captain. He goes before me, and whom the Lord sets free will be free indeed. But if we go on the other side, well, you know, maybe it's part this and part that. It's all of God. But if you start mixing in, now I'm not saying there aren't natural things in our life. But the natural does not overcome the spiritual. The spiritual overcomes the natural. See what the Lord says. So you gird yourself, the core of yourself, with the belt of truth. And then he tells us, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you can see this in your mind. What is a breastplate? Well, a breastplate protects the vitals, protects your heart, protects your lungs, your liver, your pancreas. When these things go, you go. So the breastplate is so important, and that's the breastplate of righteousness. If you know that you are righteous in Christ, that he's your breastplate, you will be protected from the enemy when he starts shooting those fiery arrows at you. Ah, you're not saved. Look at you. You're a dummy. Look at you. You're not doing the right thing. But the Bible tells me, and you got to remember these scriptures. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Who's that? That's Jesus. That's saying, my righteousness is like a filthy rag. I can't get to heaven by being good. Jesus is my goodness. Jesus is my righteousness. And I say, hallelujah. Can someone say hallelujah with me? I mean, if you don't have that secure over your heart, you're gonna suffer. You're gonna get nailed because you're gonna look at yourself. And you know why we start looking at ourselves most of the time? There are sensitive Christians that need to grow in their faith in that area. But I think for the most part, the reason why people can't take these scriptures is because they're walking both worlds. They got some of the world yet, and they got faith. So they don't have enough of faith to win the victory, and they don't have enough of the world to enjoy it. So they're in the middle. If you're playing basketball, I could tell you this. Why does a ball hit the backboard or the rim? It's because they're not focused. They haven't been trained. Their body mechanics aren't trained yet. They're not keeping their arm in close. Their feet are awkward or on an awkward shot. But if you're focused, the ball will go in. Most times when people can't accept the God's righteousness is because they're holding on to some of the world. They don't want to give it up. Is it progressive? Absolutely. We can't allow the beginning overwhelm us and say, oh, I can never do that. You got to tell yourself, you're right, I can't, but Jesus can. And he who began that good work in me he will complete it. Amen? So if you're truly a follower of God, then you'll start following after God's heart. And if there's issues in my life, I have to say, Lord, reveal me and see if there's anything that I'm not aware of that's keeping me from this victory that you want me to have. Like Joshua, I go before you. I'm your captain. The battle belongs to me. But when you go into there and the walls come down because you've been obedient by faith, don't take anything. But of course, Achan took something. He took some gold and silver and a shiny mantle, and he buried it in his house. I spoke about that last week. And so when Joshua went to fight the next city, they lost. 36 men died. And Joshua said, God, what's going on? Why? You gave us Jericho, this formidable wall came down, and now this little old city, we can't even take it. And you know what the Lord says? I said, get up. There's sin in the camp. And you cannot be successful if we got sin in the camp. And you might say, well, no one else knows. You bury it in your tent. That's what Achan did. He buried it. He denied it. But God knows it. He says, beware of this, or know this, your sin will find you out. And I'm so grateful for that, because you can't fool God. As they say, you can't outfox the fox. So I would rather say, no. Bring it to the light so God can heal it. But if you don't confess it and you don't bring it to the light, you're a lame duck. It ain't going to happen. You'll continue to suffer. You'll continue to go on that world until your years go by, and then you wake up one day, and you're going to be at the end of the time, and it's time to go home, and you're going to say, oh, boy, what a life. Or you could deal with it now and be preemptive and say, Lord, you got victory for me. I'm going to follow you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm going to put on the armor of God. And I'm going to get your victory. He goes on by saying this in verse 15. And having put on, and and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod your feet. When the Roman soldiers went into battle, they had hobnails on the bottom of their sandals, so their footing would be sure and they knew how to fight. They didn't slip and slide. Think about football. Do they wear sneakers? What do they wear? Come on, what do they wear? Cleats. Cleats give them stability. It digs into the ground so they can run. And then when it's raining out and it's muddy, they wear certain kinds of cleats, longer ones, so they get a better grip. It goes right to this harder surface. But if you don't have cleats on, so he says here, to shod your feet. And you're getting a picture here of a Roman soldier who's going into battle who has hobnails on the bottom of his sandals so that he could fight without slipping and sliding and he'll win. You got to go in to win. Romans 10 tells me this, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. But notice it says that your feet, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what is the gospel of peace? But first you got to prepare. If you don't know what salvation is about, how are you going to fight? It says preparation for the gospel of peace. We got to know how to win people to Christ. It continues by saying this, with the gospel of peace. So when I present what God wants, and this is the third point, which is retake souls. You have one chance to do that. You have one life to live, and only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else is going to pass. And Christ came to die for the lost so that none should perish. Don't you think that should be my main job too? I think it is. I think I have time that God has given me to show them the gospel of peace. Say, what is the gospel of peace? Well, first you got to know what the gospel of peace is. And here's two scriptures you could write down and memorize. Colossians 1:20. Speaking of Jesus, he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." Peace with God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, someone says, well, how do I get saved? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness of sin, and he'll bring you in. And you're justified by faith. Here it is. Having peace with God through our Lord Jesus. So the preparation of the gospel of peace is for me to know the scripture, to bring it to someone and say, brother, peace. Do you got peace with God? How about you? Do you have peace with God? Do you sense God's peace in your life? Or are you thinking, as one of the comedians said, you want a piece of me? You think maybe God wants a piece of you and he's out to get you? He's not. He's out to save you. And that's the good news. That's the gospel of peace. When he came into the upper room after his resurrection, he said, peace. He's the God of peace. You got turmoil in your life? Could it be just today might be the day that God wants to give you peace? And you have to ask the Lord, Lord, why don't I have peace? What is it? God will show you. The gospel of peace. We need to retake the lost. We need to keep that as your purpose. Why? I mean, check it out. Is God saving us? Okay, to give us a good life. I understand that. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But is that it? No, he's maturing you now to be an ambassador for him, to bring people to Christ. The disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, and then he said, now go out and preach the gospel to all nations that they may be saved. They had their time to be with the Lord. You have your time to be with the Lord. It's him and you. He's showing you his strength. But now it's time, because time is short, to tell people about the gospel of peace, that Jesus Christ came to save the sinner and you could have peace with God. And if you died right now, would you have peace with God, or are you still his enemy? We retake that which the devil has stolen. The work goes on. Praise the Lord. And he made you and I a part of that. He said in verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. Whatever is born of God, 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God, you who are born of God, overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Not your sight. Not how you feel. Either Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. Neither he came to give me an abundant life. Hallelujah. Has he come to give you an abundant life? I've come to give life, and I've come to give it abundantly. The thief comes to rob, steal, and kill, and destroy. That's the devil. You were dead in your sins. You were destroyed at one time. Are you going to go back to that now? Are you going to go back to the vomit? Say no. That ain't me. I'm a born-again Christian. I love the Lord. Do I have my issues? Yes, we all do. But I'm not going to stop there. We are progressively growing or progressively going. But you're doing something. You're either progressively growing with the Lord or you're progressively going away from the Lord. There's no neutral. And sooner or later, it'll catch up to you. Trust the word of the Lord. So I need to be preemptive and I need to have foresight. If God's word is true and he's correcting and he's now looking to get me free, I need to receive this and say, all right, Lord, what do I need to do? Well, put on the full armor of God. You're in boot camp, church. Time is too short. There are people that get saved. You have influence on people. And the power of God will come upon you. You may not be a preacher. You may not be an evangelist. But you have influence. And when you know the word of God, you can tell people about it. Do you have family? Do we have family? Yeah. Do you want to see your family burn in hell? You want to see your neighbors burn in hell? Of course not. So what do? Say, Lord, please save them. I pray for them. Can I change them? No. Can the Spirit of God do something that I can't do? Absolutely. But I must be aware of the pain of hell in order to be able to somehow, some way, be involved in knowing that my life counts for someone's eternity. If I don't have that vision, come back next week, the week after, the week after, the week after, Christmas banquet. But no, you have the fire of God in you. Fan it. So he goes on by saying this in Psalm 28:7, with the shield of faith. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song, I shall thank him. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is this it? Do you like joy? I know I love joy. I can tell you this, the joy of thy salvation, David said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation as it once was. Did you lose your joy? Is it gone? It can be restored. God is joy. He wants us to experience joy. I don't like to sing the blues. Ooh, I don't like to sing. We can find that with anybody. Or you could sing it alone. But I'm tired of that. I want to sing the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to sing songs loud. I want to be proud. I want it to bell up for my spirit. But there is work to be done. How do you do that? Well, you start thanking him, as it says in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you I got a house. I thank you I got my body still. I thank you I can taste food. I thank you I got all my teeth, unless you don't. But you want to thank God for what you have. Thank the Lord. And the joy of the Lord. And thank you for my salvation, Lord. So there you have it. He's my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in Jesus and the work that he has done. It's faith that he who began that work. It's faith that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's faith that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But if I don't trust and have faith in him, what am I going to do? Am I going to listen to teachings that kind of like pump you up for a moment or two? And you, wow, this is great. Yeah. You need to get rooted. And let the Lord do that. Take the helmet of salvation, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet protects the brain. The head is the most important. Christ is the head. He tells me that in Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation, the helmet of salvation. God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Is he your salvation? Salvation from what? You're saved from sin, the penalty of sin. You're saved from hell. You're saved to him to be a soldier, to be his bride, to be a son and a daughter of God. Salvation is just not one word. It means many things. But he is my salvation. He is my helmet that I wear when I go into battle. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword of the Spirit. So you see, this is the only offensive weapon that you have. You have the breastplate. You have the helmet. You have the word of God. But the sword cuts down the enemy. You got to know the word. Three times Jesus said, it is written, turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, devil. Man shall not live by bread alone. Then he says, he tempts him by bringing him up on a pinnacle and says, throw yourself off. And your angels, it says it in the scriptures, will capture you. But the next verse also says that you will tread on serpents. But he didn't bring that one up. But God said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the third one was, he gave him a hologram of all of the nations, all of the countries. And he said, all of this, I can give that to you. All of that, if you bow down and worship me. And he said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God only. Get out of here. Be gone. And the devil scooted. But it's the word of God. You must use the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. If you live by the word of God, you're going to be successful. We all know, and we're coming to an end here, that Satan is accuser of the brethren. It tells us in Revelation 12:10 that the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, hallelujah. Jesus got the victory. You don't die. You just get transported to another location. You don't have to live under the power of sin. You're not under law no more. You're under the Spirit of God. They overcame by the blood, the word of their testimony. Have you been sharing your testimony? Are you saved? How did you get saved? Bring that back to your memory a little bit. What were you before you got saved? Can you remember that? Can you remember that? And then say, wow, thank you, God, for delivering me from that. That's your word of testimony. But if you don't have a testimony, you're not saved. If you don't realize that God's taking you from somewhere and now you're a different person, you're not saved. It could be the smallest. Well, my wife, for instance, she knew. She was brought up in the faith. Her father was a pastor for a while in Mexico, and her mom was a missionary, and that's how she met her husband, Carlos. They were brought up as Christians, but she didn't accept that for her salvation. She recognized she was a sinner one day, and she got baptized knowing that she needed her sins forgiven, not because she was in a family and around Christians, and you're born a Christian and all of that, you're raised. No, she understood. Forgive me, God, I'm a sinner. And she was baptized. And that's her testimony. Do you have a testimony? That's sad to say. I know of people that I baptized, and I think it was more for thinking it was a traditional thing that would save them. They don't come to church. They don't follow God. It was just a thing. I got baptized. Okay, big deal. God doesn't see that as salvation. It's your faith in Christ and wanting to follow him that saves you. Because if you get married, you want to be faithful. Can I get an amen? So if you get saved, you want to be faithful. You don't want a license to say, now I can go out and cheat on my wife, or now that I know I'm saved, I can go out back to my sins. No way. You're not saved. So God saves us, and Satan accuses us. And you overcome by the blood, the word of your testimony, and you love not your life. That old man is dead. I cut off my friends. I cut off those old things that have no value to them. They have no value to them. You may say, well, it brings me peace of mind. It brings you peace of mind. Okay, it gives you the world's peace. Live for the Lord. Let the Lord speak to your heart and mind. Learn a different route. But you have to be willing to give it up. You know, when in Acts, when they got saved, it tells us they all brought their books of cults, and they threw it in the fire. They got rid of it. Well, it cost a lot of money. Yeah, they got rid of that stuff. It may cost you, but praise the Lord. If you do it for the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. This stuff, get rid of that liquor bottle. You want that liquor? Get rid of that. That ain't for you no more. As long as you think that you need to have that, the devil's got you on the rope. Pour it out and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm following you, Lord. And you said you'll give me grace and I'm going to follow you. Drug addicts have lots of money worth of cocaine. And when they come to Christ, they dump it down. Man, you're going to dump that all down the bowl. Give it to me. No. It ain't good for nobody. It's for the devil. And you flush it. You see, this is what gives you victory. It's costly, but you can't equal the freedom you have from the cost. One scripture verse here, it tells us in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It tells us about this high priest called Joshua. And listen to how Satan works. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Aren't you a brand plucked out of the fire? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I'm not taking your lies. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior." Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him," sin. And again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festivity robes." God wants to give you joy. Be clothed with Christ. He tells us here to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get away from the sins of the flesh. Zechariah wrote this down. The Lord rebuke you. You know, there's a very important name here. In Jesus' name. It's not just a rhythm of a rhyme that you say at the end of your prayer. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Jesus said, if you pray by name, if you pray according to my will. In the book of Jude, it tells us that Michael the archangel was fighting against Satan for the body of Moses. And you know what he said? The Lord rebuke you. He didn't say, I rebuke you. He didn't say, I'm the archangel. I'm stronger than you, Lucifer. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. You got to use the Lord's name. You got to say, Jesus, greater is you than in me. It's your word. It's you, Jesus. And you have given me access to you because I'm a son and I'm a daughter of you. And I can go to you now. You said it. So when you're rebuking the enemy, just don't put out your chest and say, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. And he has to go. Can I get an amen? Now you might say, well, you know, yeah, it sounds all well and good. Have you tried it? Okay. Last part, verse 18. So with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, remember, this is the armor of God. If you don't have chutzpah, if you don't have the power of prayer, I don't care how much armor you wear, it ain't going to work. You need to be the anointed of God. You need to sense his power in your life. You need to be close to him. So it says, with all power, with all prayer and petition, at all times pray in the Spirit. And with this in view, here it is, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Where this is your army, church. This is your family army. Look out for one another. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints, for the brother or sister next to you. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one gets blessed, we all bless. But I have to pray for you just as much as a man's supposed to pray for his wife, because the two become one. They're not inseparable. You think that you could live your Christian life alone without being affected by the body of Christ? You're absolutely wrong. You're part of it. Just as much as a man cannot say, I'm not for my wife anymore, we could still live in separate beds. Forget that. You'll never be blessed. You'll never have the joy of the Lord. So there's an important ingredient here that we have to keep in mind. And it's found in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, they're building the wall, and this is the last scripture. In Nehemiah, they're building the wall. They just came out of captivity thereabouts after so many years. They've been living in rubble. Nehemiah goes there and he sees the walls all broken down. Jerusalem was in captivity, you know, for over 70 years now. And he starts building the wall. You see, the wall is protection. He's building the community of the nation of Israel again. And there were enemies. Sanballat was there. And he was against them from building the wall. You see, the world is against you. They want you to live in rubble. They want you to be mastered by them, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So Nehemiah is building this world to bring community, to bring oneness again, to bring a nation under God again. And Sanballat was against it. And so here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to wipe them out while they were building the wall. And here's what Nehemiah said. And by the way, the wall was built in, what, 51 days? It was an incredible feat. And he says this, "And I said to the nobles and to the officials," Nehemiah 4, 17 to 21, "and to the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. And we are separated on the wall from one another. Some were working a half a mile this way, half a mile that way." And verse 20, "And whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. So he gave them this information. We're all in this, church. He says, if the enemy comes at the east wall, blow a trumpet, and those on the west wall will come running to you to fight with you to get this wall done. And that's what prayer does for all of us. We pray for, we're building the kingdom of God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Horizon. It's about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And he says, you are his soldier. You belong to him. It's boot camp, but it's time to say, Lord, how can I fight for you? Start praying. Start praying. Be alert for those next to you. How are you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? You know, you look kind of heavy today. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, but I'm praying for you. And mean it. And pray for that person. This is the armor of God. He's my victory. He's your victory. But you have to put it on. It's not going to magically jump on you. Discipline yourself. Use the word of God, his righteousness, his helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Tell others about it. Get sure-footed. Get to know the gospel. Pray for one another. Time is short. People are hurting. People are lost. People are going to hell. He's called you to bring the gospel of peace. Prepare yourself. Blessed are the feet that bring good news. Tell someone that Jesus loves them. Tell them, listen to them. Drop a seed. Say a good word. But make sure you're saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to have any power. And how do you know you're saved? By faith, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you start getting assurance by the fruits in your life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, you've given us you as our captain, you as our leader, you as our fighter. The battle belongs to you, Lord. And we belong to you. And you have a mission for us for such a time as this. We were born. Lord, help us to see that it's no longer time just to sit with you, but we need to get out with you and preach the gospel, teach the word of God, get people saved by your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, in the meantime, let us hear from you as individuals and let us work together as a team for your glory. In Jesus' name. There is a